Okay, so we're ready to rock here. So I am sitting here, I shouldn't say sitting here, but talking to the dealer geek himself, Ryan Thompson, also head of sales for Kijiji. Ryan, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey, Ryan, thanks for having me. I feel like I'm talking to a celebrity right now with all the hype going around with Xander Ford and everything they've done with Twitter. So, yeah, I really appreciate you having me on the call. Just at our new office downtown Toronto here. Kijiji just moved downtown to a brand new facility, so it's been pretty exciting. And just been plowing away on the side at the dealergeek.com and trying to give dealers as many resources and tips as I can.
Perfect. So on that note, you know, I'm actually on your site right now, thedealergeek.com. I've been kind of, you know, creeping it for the last little while myself. I find it to be an excellent resource on car dealers. Myself, having, you know, kind of a newbie into the automotive industry per se, it's been a great resource for, you know, just some detailed things that actual dealers, you know, really kind of need help with and assistance and direction. So why don't you just, you know, just fill us in on how this, you know, the Dealer Geek, first of all, how that name came about, and furthermore, the blog.
Yeah, no problem. So I had my first attempt at blogging. I think it would have been like 2008. I actually had a blog called automotivemarketing.ca and really didn't have that much direction. I posted some interviews, some press releases. It was really just kind of getting my feet wet with WordPress and figuring this whole thing out. Kind of when I got a little more serious about blogging was around 2009. I was exposed to a website. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's called Dealer Refresh. Jeff Kirshner is the founder, and it's out of the U.S. It's been around since, I think, 2005. The unique thing about that site is they actually have a section of it that's a forum. And, you know, you go to a lot of internet forums and there's a few conversations from 6 months ago and not a lot of activity. If anybody hasn't checked it out, you need to go to Dealer Refresh and go to the forum section. And there's articles dating back to 2008, 2009, probably with every question any car dealer could ever think of, there will be an answer. So that's kind of where I started to really get interested in, you know, using the internet as a way to not only not just a way for myself to learn, but also how can I share with other dealers best practices. Any answer you can think of, like I said, is definitely on that website. And it really got me thinking that, yeah, a lot of the answers were U.S. specific. And I was having car dealers ask me all the time, you know, how do we set up our Facebook page, or what's the best CRM to use, or what website should we use, or, you know, I have a vendor pitching me about SEO and I have no idea if they're pulling the wool over my eyes. So I would point them in the direction of Dealer Refresh form. However, sometimes there wasn't answers for Canadians, so I whipped up this website, just started it off as kind of like a resource guide. And then over time, it's just kind of evolved to my online journal. As far as how the Dealer Geek name came up, to be completely honest with you, I have no idea. I don't even remember. I think somebody might have referred to me as the Dealer Geek in a Twitter post or something, and I just went with it.
Perfect. I think what's really unique, and I'll kind of slip the Dealer Talk conference into this, is me personally, I mean, I had the chance to meet you briefly when I was out there earlier this year, but me sitting in a dealership every day, which I know you have experience of doing that, you know, in other capacities, I think the biggest thing for me was coming in, even though I personally had a marketing background, I didn't have an automotive background. So, you know, trying to connect the two, I often, and I still do, find it a little frustrating, just with almost the lack of, you know, say resources or knowledge base, things like that, to say, okay, like, I'm sitting in this dealership, you know we need to sell cars, we know there's this thing called like the digital space, which is becoming gigantic, you know, where can I go to really get some good resources? And you know, coming out to the Dealer Talk conference, you know, earlier on this year was amazing. I think it, in my opinion, it's the best dealer-related conference I've been to. I think that, you know, the speakers that you guys had were absolutely phenomenal. I had a ton of takeaways. I was impressed with the moment I sat down on the table and I seen those pink little iPhone chargers. I was like, what the heck? I was like, those are amazing. So, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, how the Dealer Talk conference came and kind of, you know, the planning process behind that. You were a key, you know, part in that. So, you know, can you kind of tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, so that was definitely a career highlight for me. So for anybody that's listening that doesn't know, GG put on a conference March 2013 of this year at the Four Seasons in Toronto, and it was a one-day conference. Very reasonable. I think the early bird, if I remember correctly, was like $99 a ticket, and I think full price was maybe $150. We had Grant Cardone, we had Paul Kotrath, we had Scott Monty from Ford. So we had a pretty big lineup. And a lot of dealers, you know, they were blown away with what we were charging. And the thinking behind that was, as a vendor, as Kijiji, I mean, we can go out and do all kinds of full-page ads in these industry magazines and bombard dealers with flyers and you know, traditional type of marketing. But I was really interested, and I'm so fortunate that Kijiji has the same thinking that, hey, why don't we take some of that marketing budget and really give back to the dealers and create this conference that is going to be, you know, bring all the thought leaders in the industry together, get them in a room, you know, charging $99 a ticket. We're definitely not a moneymaker. But yeah, we still have dealers talking about it, and it was an experiment for us. It was definitely a risky move, but we started planning probably 6 months out, and yeah, it definitely exceeded my expectations. We've actually been planning the Dealer Talk 2014 for the last couple months, and should have some dates published shortly. It's probably going to be February or March of next year here in Toronto again.
Have you guys kind of, do you have any idea in mind, you know, speakers? Have you kind of narrowed it down? I know you can't, you know, probably release anything, but do you guys kind of have a few in mind that you kind of thinking of?
Yeah, so I, my task with the conference, my main responsibility was the speaking lineup. So it was pretty cool actually to have the opportunity to put kind of my dream team together and see them up on the stage. So I have a laundry list of people that I want to bring in. Some of them aren't automotive, but they're definitely going to be able to, you know, take their expertise and apply it to a car dealer situation. I can say that there's going to be some pretty big names, but at this point, unfortunately, I can't give you any teaser on that.
No problem. Jumping over into the, you know, third-party vendors, lead providers. I mean, you got Trader, you got Kijiji, you got, you know, numerous car chat type, you know, when you click on a website, you know, the chat box pops up. If you follow my question along, in the interview with Automotive News and Twitter regarding myself, Twitter, a question was asked by the Automotive News, you know, why did you pick these guys? Like, why are they using your platform correctly and so well? And Twitter's response was, you know, it's very unique that they have one person, one individual inside that dealership whose whole mandate is to be doing that. And she said, it's not that, you know, their automotive clients don't want to use their platform properly. It's just it in the dealership world, if you've ever sat in a dealership, there's so many things going on. And sometimes they'll have a, you know, a general manager be posting, a sales manager. So it's often tough to kind of allocate one person. So on the third party vendor side, which you're on, would you agree with that, or would you say that there's some, you know, kind of best practices that, you know, some dealers could maybe incorporate to kind of chop away at it?
Yeah, I mean, the third-party game is definitely a lot more familiar to car dealers than something like Twitter. I mean, these third-party sites have been around forever, so dealers definitely are familiar with the concept of, you know, spending some money to put your inventory on a website or, you know, an Auto Trader print magazine back in the day where, you know, a car buyer is going to go and look for everything all at one time versus jumping in the car and driving to 25 different dealerships. I put an article up on my blog a couple of weeks ago. There's actually a study done by Polk in the U.S. that car buyers are spending 18 to 19 hours online prior to the purchase. But more interestingly is used cars are spending 4 to 5 hours on third-party sites. So they're spending a lot of time on an auto trader and on Kijiji here in Canada. So I think dealers, they know that they have to be in the game. Unfortunately, I just think a lot of them don't realize that you don't always have to buy, you know, the most expensive package that these vendors are selling. There's a lot of things that you can do organically. However, just like Twitter, it takes a little bit of blood, sweat, and tears, and it takes somebody to really own that. I find that a lot of dealers sometimes, they've spread themselves out where there's three or four people that are supposed to be handling one of these advertising mediums, and nobody's really taking ownership. So just like you did it at Thunder Ford with Twitter, you're owning that initiative. I really think that dealers need to put the right people in place that are going to own it and get the most out of these sites, because there's so many things you can do on these sites, and it really comes down to somebody actually physically doing it versus just, you know, paying for the next shiny object that comes onto the market.
Perfect. You don't have to name any specific dealers, but, you know, out of the dealers that you would say, you know, are in your, I don't know, top 5 to top 10 using Kijiji as a platform for their third-party lead generators, what are some things that you notice on a day-to-day? And I mean really detailed, like things on a day-to-day of what they're doing inside the dealership that is really, really, you know, it's speaking volumes when it comes to their Kijiji listings.
Yeah, so I would say what the most successful dealers that are on Kijiji are doing, the funny part is they're doing the same thing on Auto Trader. They're doing the same thing on multiple sites. And there's definitely a correlation between a successful dealer on Kijiji and Auto Trader. Typically, if they're getting a pile of leads on Kijiji, they're probably getting a ton of leads on Auto Trader because they're using, I have a lot of this on my blog, but you know, one thing that stands out to me is just the headline. I mean, so many dealers just use that standard stock headline year, make, model when there's like 160 characters that they can use. And when you're looking for a Honda Civic and there's pages and pages and pages of Honda Civics, you can really get a lot of extra eyeballs on your units just by putting something unique that car has in the headline. I would say also a lot of dealers are writing detailed descriptions. I mean, I feel like this is all kind of basic 101 stuff. But yeah, I mean, you scour Kijiji and you scour Auto Trader, and there's still only a very, very small percentage of dealers that are really going all in when it comes to these sites.
A part of what I do is I obviously look at competitors, and I look at other dealers that are on Kijiji, Auto Trader. And one thing I notice, and I don't know if you'd agree, but it seems like a lot of the little, you know, small little 10 to 15 car dirt lots on the corner are using these platforms way better than some of the bigger stores. And, in one aspect, I'm kind of shocked, but, in another, I'm kind of not, because, you know, kind of the word hustle comes to mind where it's like, oh, man, we really got to move these products. So I don't know. Could you kind of weigh in on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth, and that's not just on Kijiji, that's on Trader as well. I see the same thing. I guess my theory on that is, I mean, if you think about an independent used car dealership that only has 15 or 20 cars, typically there's going to be, you know, the owner-operator who's also in the dealership. Maybe they have one other sales person, so there's only maybe two or three people working at the store. And I mean, for a franchise dealership, sometimes that used car department's a bit of an afterthought, where an independent dealer is, they're looking at those 15 cars and, you know, they have their house mortgaged on those cars. They need to move the cars. So they're willing to, you know, put in the blood, sweat, and tears and try different things. And I mean, anytime you work for an organization that has two people versus 30, 40, 50, or 100, a lot easier to implement change. So if they want to try taking the pictures totally different one day, they just go out and do it. They don't have to get, you know, sign off from general manager and dealer principal. If they need to lower the prices, they just lower the prices. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I definitely know that these independent dealers that have, you know, a smaller staff, they just seem to move a lot faster. And here in Toronto, I'm noticing that we have a lot of independent car salespeople that are now working at franchise stores for that reason. The franchise store wants to get these guys and girls into their dealership because, you know, they know how to work all these systems, and some of the franchise stores haven't quite figured it all out. It's not the same as new car sales where, you know, the OEM does a lot of the advertising. I mean, this is all them, right?
Yeah, you brought up a good point there. You said implementing change, you know, to a two-person staff as opposed to a 50-person staff. Definitely, I agree with that. The dealers that do have that, you know, 30 to 60 people staff, what are some of the things you've seen them do as far as, you know, maybe their internal processes that has really helped to, I guess, one, implement the change, but B, try to simplify that process amongst, you know, a general manager, an owner, you know, a few sales managers. Like, what are some of the things that you find they're doing that is helping?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really just comes down to the management and the processes that they put in place and how thorough they are with the follow-up. I mean, if you're going to put some special email templates or scripts together for the sales team to use and you want to be consistent and use that on every single reply, then somebody has to be following up and making sure that this happens. I think this is with any business. Too many times we have all these great ideas. You know, the consultant comes into the dealership or somebody reads an article and gets all excited and will start something, but unfortunately management isn't always there to make sure that everybody follows through.
Okay. And you know, just the last thing I wanted to kind of bring up is I'm on your blog and I'm on your LinkedIn and Twitter and all that good stuff, and you've been just pounding this personal branding inside of the dealership. So I know that you're kind of onto that. I see you've done a few interviews, etc. So I mean, just kind of speak on that and kind of, you know, is that something you've been focusing on, you know, way back, or is it something that you feel is extremely important now going forward? You know, what's interested you so much about that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been personally all in with personal branding since like day one in the dealership. If you look at my blog on my about page, there's a picture of me on a billboard. That was 2005, and I created my own website at that time. I had no idea what I was doing at all, but, you know, bought a big billboard and was trying to, you know, be the authority on car sales in the market that I was in. And I've continued to do that throughout my career. That's why, you know, I have my blog, to just make sure that I'm one of the thought leaders in the industry. If you want a really good reference of somebody that's doing an amazing job with this, her name, I've also wrote about her, is Elise Keppert at a Sunset Honda in California. I think I read that last month they sold 150 cars, and out of the 150, she was working with 60 of those customers. And she's been able to create this amazing brand that really separates her from the competition. At the end of the day, cars are a commodity, especially if you're in a franchise store. I mean, look at Edmonton. You can buy a Ford F-150 at five or six different stores. It's essentially going to be the same truck. The price is going to be close to the same at each dealership. You know, what could be the deal maker is them reading your blog or watching your videos or, you know, following you on Twitter. So I think real estate salespeople have been doing this for years. For whatever reason, car sales, I don't see it as much. I mean, most car salespeople are 100% commission, so technically it is their own business, so they should start treating it like their own business and not always just rely on, you know, the dealer principal or the management team to bring them the leads. Just, the internet's there. Go out there, create your own site, start creating content, and just go generate your own leads.
Perfect. Well, that kind of that kind of ends all my questions. If there's anything else you want to add, just feel free.
Yeah, no, that's great. I appreciate you reaching out. And if you sign up for my mailing list, I always on the autoresponder ask if you have any questions. And I mean, the number one question right now is, how do I handle these internet leads? Of internet managers from all across Canada and the U.S. asking me how to handle those internet leads. A couple great resources. I mean, I would go to, there's a website called phoneninjas.com. Jerry Thibault. He's an amazing phone trainer. He also has some really great email templates. There's another guy, Joe Webb. He has all kinds of really good resources online. So you just need to start reading the dealer refreshes of the world, driving sales, start following some of these thought leaders, and you're going to definitely have an unfair advantage over your competitors.
Perfect. And lastly, if if anybody wants to reach out to you or ask you some questions, I mean, what's the best way?
Yeah, the best way, you can follow me at Ryan_DealerGeek, or the best way to reach me is probably just to go to thedealergeek.com, and there's a contact form there. hopefully I can get back to you the same day. Sometimes it takes me 24 hours, but I always get back to everybody through that site.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Ryan. I appreciate everything.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ryan. Take care.
All right. Bye.